appeal to over the next 3 weeks to talk about three paths. It was interesting to see one of these songs today that Margie had. I think it was about the third one or something. It was talking about the path, following the footsteps of the Lord, following those footsteps, the ones that we need to follow. Because let's have a look at Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise your holy name for this time, these scriptures that you've given us and the words that you give us. We thank you in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. I saw this reading the other day in Counting the Omer, I think it was. Deuteronomy 28. Starting at verse 1. Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be the basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall curse your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. You shall come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your barns and on all you put your hand to. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you, if you keep the commandments of God walk in his ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and you shall not be afraid, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, and in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your beast, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens to give rain to your land in the seasons, and bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lead to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and will give, and you only will be above, and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, then I charge you today to observe them carefully, and to do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, go after other gods to serve them. Hallelujah. Great promise there, isn't there? And to many it's the way to salvation. But this sort of wording is, it's not the way to salvation, but the salvation way is the cross, isn't it? This is not the way to salvation, but it's the salvation way. In other words, the way we should act within our salvation. Not the path to be saved, but the way of the saved. If you look at the bulletin on the top left right-hand corner, there's a little picture. And on that picture, it says the beginning. It says the beginning. Well, I don't think it'd be unscriptural to tell you it's not the beginning, it's the climax. Because the beginning started, the path of Yeshua started before the beginning of time. And when Adam and Eve sinned, the devil was threatened then, wasn't he? We always talk, people to talk about his heel would be struck and relate it to being the devil knocked down. Well, that's what the cross did. But that's where it started. It started way back there. So what we look at today in many ways is there seems to be that the cross appeared and then it was over. A couple of weeks ago I spoke about the cross. Well, I'm going to continue that a bit today because I feel it's so important and I feel it's the Lord, what the Lord is putting on my heart. There is only one way to salvation. We know that. And if anybody goes against that way of salvation, well, we know that they're lost. Amen? We have one way and one way only. And that, of course, is through Yeshua, John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that way, not a way. And so when you get into areas where people are frightened to mention his name because it might upset others that are in present, well, I have a problem with that. Because the Bible says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. And so in any situation I find myself now, that scripture's been just banging me in the head the last few weeks. And I suppose it was because what started it was the interfaith people being invited to the tree planting. And certain people saying, oh, you know, this is all ways sort of thing. But we only have one traffic controller. This road has a traffic controller, and his name is Yeshua. Let's hear it. Yeshua. That's the only way. He is the traffic controller. Jeff, I know, parted sheep. I've parted sheep in a pen. You've heard this one goes that way, that one goes this way, that one goes this way, that one goes that way. Simple as that. But you always get the one who tries to go the other way. Doesn't want to go where you've opened the gate. It's determined to go the other way. Well, sorry, but unless you understand Yeshua and his saving grace, you cannot go that way. Because there's a man standing there with a cross, with nails in his hands and nails in his feet or marks, and he's saying, stop. Do you have my name on your heart? Have you confessed my name? This is the path Yeshua took. The promises for walking that path, 28:1-14, which we've just spread. These are the promises. I know the cross had not occurred at that point, but who is Deuteronomy? What's another word for Deuteronomy? Another word for Deuteronomy is Devar. In Hebrew, it means word. What does John 1 say? In the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. He is the Word and always will be the Word. And so Deuteronomy 28:1-14 are the promises for us walking in the Word. The way of Yeshua. Psalm 102:1-2 is a slightly different in the version I read this morning, but the other day I read it as, we are weak. We are weak. Is anybody here strong enough to walk through this life by themselves with all the things that are going to come upon them? You know, just imagine if you didn't know the Lord and the troubles you went through. You can't say, well, just imagine there is no Lord, because you can't do that. But just imagine if you didn't know him and all the problems you've had in your life. You see, we've all heard that story, haven't we, about the footprints. Where are the footprints, Lord, when I really need you? We've all heard the story, haven't we? But who carried the Lord? Who carried the Lord when he was needing it? Who carried him? We're always thinking of our own needs and him carrying us, but what about him? Or didn't he need carrying? Maybe he did, because he said, why can't you stay awake for 5 minutes while I'm off praying to support me? Why can't you? Didn't he say that to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Stay awake just for 5 minutes, please, and pray with me. Who supports the Lord? Who supported the Lord through all he had to go through? Can you imagine standing up like me now and knowing that in 3 days' time you're going to be nailed to a cross? And don't think you'd be that very confident about things, would you? But the Lord stood up And he was preaching, telling, talking, loving, caring, protecting, healing, knowing all the time that he was going to take a path that would lead to death on a cross. Who carried him? Obviously, it was the power of God. His disciples didn't, did they? They all deserted him. The people deserted him. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" they cried. If only they'd known. If only they'd known. But then again, of course, we need to understand if they'd known and said, "Don't crucify him," we'd be in problem, wouldn't we? No, he wouldn't have conquered death. He wouldn't have conquered anything. Revelation 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The cross is foolishness to those who don't believe, but it's the power to all who are saved." This is the path that we need to follow. This is the path Yeshua took. This morning, one of the songs said, "In the steps of the Lord." Those are the steps we need to take. We need to sometimes, I believe, stop thinking about him walking in our steps, but us walking in his steps. Because we're too busy worrying about us, you know, him doing things for us. But what about us doing things for him? In the words of John F. Kennedy, "What can you do for your country? What can you do for your Lord?" And I think this is a big thing that we need to remember, that Yeshua walked a path that to everybody, not just to few, but to everybody, would have been terrifying. Agreed? It would have been terrifying. But he knew the end from the beginning. He may have started off as a helpless babe, but if you had a look at yourself as a photo of a two-year-old, had a look at yourself as a two-year-old, and now look at yourself as a photo of you now, and look at the difference. Just look at the difference. I've had to do this in the last few days. What happened? But instead of him going from a babe to old age, he went from babe to glory. Amen? He got better. As the picture on the Mount of Transfiguration showed, he got better. He didn't age. He didn't get worse. Okay, he died at 33, 34, somewhere about there. But he still got better. They say your body starts to break down after about 25, 26. Sorry to tell you that. Sorry to tell you about it, Adam, but no comment, please. But the thing is, that's the truth, medical truth. But he got better because he was going from a babe to glory. I was thinking about this, and who saw the Wizard of Oz? And what did they follow? The yellow brick road. And I was thinking also about certain things that have been happening the last few days. And the crucifixion was a crime scene. They killed somebody who was innocent. It was a crime scene. We don't follow a yellow brick road. We follow a road with blood drops along it. And in that crime scene, we can follow that blood to see what they did with Yeshua. And if we follow it all the way to the end, what do we find? The cross. We find the cross. And the only way we can follow that path is to follow the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That's the only way we can follow. But we must remember, of course, it ends in glory. Glory, glory, and more glory. The road is long, is no longer cloudy and misty. Who's been on a road in a bush area sort of thing? You come to an intersection and there's no signposts. Which way do you go? Who's ever done that? The thing. You don't know, do you? You just don't know which way to go. And you take a guess. Somebody said, always go to the right when you get to an intersection. Always go to the right. Always go to the right. Well, we need to go to the right way, don't we? In this particular case, it didn't work for them, but but they said, always go to the right. Never change your mind. Just keep going in one direction. And that's the thing with our Lord. We just continue to keep going on the right path towards Him. What we had before we came to know Him was a dirt track in the middle of the wilderness with many little outlets, and you had all these false signs, this way, the mirage. I've not seen a mirage, but out in the desert of Israel, you can see the shimmering, and you see exactly how they can appear within in the mirage, because you've got to be close to death before you see the mirage, and I ain't been that far. But the thing is, you see this, they can see this mirage, and it leads them off on every way. But when Yeshua came, He not only did away with all those little side roads, He also paved the road with His blood. But He also paved it with gold. He paved it to a way to follow. He no longer had a dirt, dusty road, but a path of glory. He walked the path of truth. He walked that path, became the path of truth. And the truth does what? Sets you free, John 8:32. It sets you free. It's a path, a road, which I'll speak about next week in Acts 9:18, that opens the eyes. But when we walk this path, we don't just want our eyes opened. Or you can start throwing the stones now. But you don't want just your eyes open. You've got to have your heart opened. No good opening your eyes. You've got to just opening your eyes. You've got to open your heart as well before you can really step onto that path, the path that Yeshua took. Jeremiah 10, there's only one true God, one living God, one everlasting God. He went from baptism to temptation, temptation to the wilderness, from the wilderness to the Garden of Gethsemane, and all the way to the cross. That is the path our Lord took. Are we prepared to walk that path? Are we prepared to take the cross and follow Him? Are we prepared to walk in His footsteps and forget about Him walking in ours? Because too often I've heard over the years, Jesus can do this for me. Jesus can do that. If I do this, He'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll. There's a lot of I in there. Whereas what we should be saying is, Lord, show me. Show me how it'll go. As I said, when I was going to said before many times, when we were being called, before we were being called to go to Israel, I said, Lord, I can do this, 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 and this, and this. Which one do you want me to use? Letitia Warren left school knowing how to do carpentry, drive heavy equipment. She decided then she was going to go to university and learn dressmaking, artwork, wedding gowns, and all that to start a business. All her life's planned out in front of her. And the Lord says, I don't want any of those skills. I want you. And she ended up in Israel. It's the same with me. He said, I said, this one, this one, this one, Lord, which one do you want me to use? And then I felt this feeling to say, that may be the wrong question. So I said, okay, Lord, what do you want? And He put us in charge of handicapped children. Have we ever been in charge of handicapped children? Penny didn't want to do any more housework than she was doing. She did more housework than she'd done in all her life, washing floors and windows and curtains and bedding and things every day of the week. We've got to walk in His path. Don't expect Him to walk in our path. Amen? This is what we've got to remember. He could have called, in Matthew 26:53, He could have called thousands of angels. What happened in Hezekiah? Who won the battle? Thousands of angels. Well, the Lord opened their eyes and they saw the angels. All these times, the angels are there, ready to take their place. Well, just a call of the Lord. I can call all the angels of heaven to save me. But He didn't actually say this, but He said, No, I have a task. I have a path to walk. And that path is to show you how to walk. Because we can read through Deuteronomy 28 and all these blessings and everything we can claim. And one down here, near the end, it says, bound in prosperity, offspring of your body, and it says you'll be the head and not... All the prosperity gospels quote those scriptures. But it doesn't mean that. It means that you'll be great in the Lord. I've lost track of what it actually means. It's not about riches, earthly riches. It's about the riches you can have in understanding the Lord. That's what it's about. Tell the widow who put in her last two pennies in the temple that she will have great prosperity by loving the Lord. And she put her last two pennies into the collection of the temple. We have a great God. Praise the Lord. The cross was not the end of the journey. Amen? It was not the end. It wasn't even the start. It was a culmination of all that we've gone before and all that was to come. As John 19, they were afraid and locked in the room. Yeshua showed them there was more to this path he had set before them. I am going to be talking about two other paths over the next 2 weeks, but so I'm not going to go that way at the moment. But generally I'm saying here that they had thought the path had come to an end. The cross was the end. Scriptures tell us. Oh, so-and-so, I can't remember call the name, but Caiaphas and said, those said, oh, so-and-so rose up, and when he died, all his followers were scattered. So they would have known that. And so when they came to the cross, it's the end. There's a chasm. They can't get across. That's it. Finish. So they sit in a room, talking in a room, whatever they were doing in a room. And it's finished. How do we know they thought it was finished? They were afraid. What's going to happen to us next? They did that to him, so what are they going to do to us? And he stood amongst them, greeted them, and then said, look at my hands, look at my feet. And their eyes were open and they saw that the chasm had a bridge. And the bridge was the cross. Have this picture of all these roads heading out. Like I showed a couple of weeks ago, similar. But on those roads, it's got danger, road out. And if they continue to the end, it drops into a chasm. But there's one road that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Yeshua is the director. And when they come to the chasm, there's now a bridge. And the cross has fallen across the chasm. That's what we've got. He went down to the depths. He was now ready. He'd been to heaven. Don't touch me. Don't hold on to me. I haven't yet presented myself to the Father. He was in his perfect state from sin, Hebrews 4:15, Ephesians 4:9. He'd been down to the depths. He was now ready to rise to be with the Father. The road was finished. It finished along to the cross, and now we had a new road. And the road lifted us up. This road does not go down, it goes up. He was ready to lead us on that one path to the Father's house, because he had gone through. You see, there was a back door to that tomb, wasn't there? Well, front door really, but there was a back door, and he found it. Stone rolled away, and he got out again. So the path he had traveled up to the cross had, in the eyes of the world, had finished his business, his ministry. But the Lord knew what was to come, and he opened the way, and the path continues out the other side. of the tomb. And it continues out the other side of the tomb for us also. It continues all the way to the Father's house. As I said at the beginning of the service, George Whitfield said, "Baptized in God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we're saved by the God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And I've written, God creates, Son shows, Holy Spirit guides. Amen? And he guides us on that path that Yeshua took. And he says, this is the way. I will teach you. This is the way. Colossians 1:22, to prevent us in the Holy Spirit in his sight. He needs to keep this Holy Spirit in our sight. Keep him in our sight at all time. He suffered and accused, but he was innocent. He rose, descended, raised to glory. This is the path Yeshua took. Are we prepared to take the same path? Are we ready to go where he went? Peter says, I am ready to go wherever you go. I am ready to die for you. And what did the Lord say? This day you will deny me three times. You will drink of the cup that I drink, but today you will deny me three times. And he did, but only after he saw the risen Lord. We know the story. We don't need to, surely do not have to wait to see the risen Lord to really believe what was done on that time. Because we know the story. Confess and follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Follow, confess and follow in his steps. I'm paraphrasing it a bit. Only then we will really understand that we need to walk in his path, not him in ours. Amen? Just think back in your life and think of the path you have walked. Do you really want the Lord to walk that path? No. Don't want it in my case, that's for real. And so we need to walk in his path because he is opening a door for us to walk through. He is opening a door for us to walk through. Place your feet where he has walked. Place your love and understanding as he loved and understood. Place your hand of healing when called upon as he placed his hand of healing. Place all that he has placed in your ability and want and need, I should say, to minister in his name, in his path, not our path. And I think today the Lord is saying, follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me. Do not get distracted. Do not get distracted by the world. A time is coming, says the Lord, that you will be dragged, pushed, bullied into following other ways. But remember the word, fear the one who can destroy the soul, not the one that can destroy the body. Thank you, Lord, that you have placed that path there for us to follow. And there's a song. I'm not going to sing it, just one line of it. I want to walk where Yeshua walked throughout the promised land. Is that not our cry? I want to walk the path of Yeshua, where he walked, showing us the way to the promised land. Amen. Hallelujah.
It says he's going to finish the transgression to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Friends, the purpose of the death of Messiah was not to give me a bicycle, but to forgive me my sins and forgive you your sins. Well, let's be honest. Our box top is put away, true? I have no idea who the Messiah is. I'm just going to let the Bible speak. So let's see what we got. We got a Messiah who's born of a woman, not of man and woman, who's born of a woman in Bethlehem, though he ever existed. He was beaten, he was wounded, and in fact, he dies. He dies to forgive me my sins and to conquer the serpent. to bring in victory and usher in eternal righteousness. Let's see. He dies in the first century. Any candidates? Honestly, there's only one, right? Wait, there's only one, right? Okay, that's really not rhetorical. There's really only one, right? Thank you. Just checking, see if you're still painted on there. He's the Messiah. His name is Yeshua. His name is Yeshua. He's really the only one who satisfies. Only three Bible prophecies. Imagine if we went through all of them. I'd say that picture's pretty clear. Now I've got a problem. What do I do with that? The boys said, let's get out of here. That's how you handle it sometimes. When truth confronts you, you say, yeah, I'm getting out of here. They did, however, take a Bible with them, New Testament, in Hebrew. They did, however, take with them my testimony, which is on the not-so-free side of the table back there. We have a free side, we have a not-so-free side. And one of them, whose name is Kobe, said he would read it. Pretty good. I tell you that story so you can be encouraged, number one. I tell you that story so you can be informed, so you can do it with your Kobes and Menachems and Reuvens and the people who are Jewish in your world who might stay with you if you're involved in Chiburim or Hit. You're hosting Israeli travelers. If you don't do that, you just happen upon Jewish people. Whether they be Israelis who travel or South Africans who've moved here or local native Jews who've been here for 150 years, whoever you encounter who's Jewish, now you've got some information maybe. If you get them to say, I'm Jewish, go ahead, you say, really, can I have 15 minutes? And just give them 15 minutes worth, see what happens. They interrupt you, don't be worried. Just say, I'm not very good at this. Can you give me a minute and I'll get to your question in a minute. Let me finish this because I've got this trail. I really want you to walk with me down this trail. Or I want you to see the jigsaw puzzle. However you want to do it, you help them see what you see. Because if you don't help them see what you see, how are they going to see it? How are they going to see it unless somebody shows them? How did you see it? Unless somebody showed you. You think they're so smart? You think they're so much better? I'm glad these two witnesses were out. I'm Jewish, go ahead. And they opened the Bible, Genesis 1. Not good. I won the Bible battle. I knew my stuff. They'd been saved 4 months. They were 18 and 19 years old. He had Jesus is ... written on his blue jeans. She told me, when you accept Christ as your Savior, the blue sky will be bluer and the green grass will be greener. Where's that? Anybody find that in here? It's not. It's not in the book, but it spoke to my heart. I was a Jewish existentialist. I thought that was such a great way to see the world. I thought that was a great thing. I thought she was an idiot as far as Bible goes, but I thought she was really cool. And she was pretty. So that was helpful. I went back where I was staying, and I told the girl who was there, whom I knew to be a born-again Christian, that I had just met these two people out on the street corners, and they go to so-and-so, and she said, that's where I go to church. And so she said, how about we read the New Testament? I thought, well, yeah, okay. So we stayed up all that night reading St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. I thought they were all Catholics. St. John, don't they sound Catholic? I had no idea how Jewish the book was. Now, I told you I taught high school mathematics, which means I had this brainwash. You know how it is. My right brain was functioning in this math science realm. And so English, I didn't exactly score very well in my marks in the English department. So you know how I got through high school English? I read the first part of a book, the last part of the book, and hoped, please God, that there was a Monarch or Cliff's Notes versions in the newsagent somewhere that I could get me through Shakespeare or Red Badge of Courage or something. So I did that with the Bible that night. I said, let's skip to the back. So we read the last book of the Bible. I didn't know what it was called, Revelation. Okay, cool. I don't know what that means. And so I start reading, and pretty soon I realize I'm on the wrong team. I'm wearing the wrong colors. It's like going to the All Blacks game in yellow and green. You know, it's just, it was something really wrong. And there were hobgoblins and demons, and I was in trouble. I took the Bible that she gave me, and I went back where I was with my parents. And I started devouring the pages of the record of the Newer Testament. I just read it over and over. 3 days. I didn't do anything else but read the pages of the Newer Testament. Jesus was so cool. He was great. He was like the consummate hippie. He was like me. He went up against the rabbis and the establishment, and he would have struck on campus for military industrial complex, you know, knockback. I mean, he was, I don't know what he was, but he was cool. He was an activist. He was a rebel and a political action hero. But there was something else that was drawing me to him. And I began to get scared. Maybe like those boys a fortnight ago. Wait a minute. I went to this girl who gave me the Bible. I went over to her house 3 days later. I sat on the step of her house. Mind you, this is in Leawood, Kansas, a place where Jews and blacks were not allowed to own property. In my lifetime. Yep. Last August, I went to the Jewish Golf Club in Glasgow, Scotland. Why is there a Jewish golf club? Because Jews were excluded from other golf clubs. This doesn't seem right, does it? There should be a treaty. So I sat on this girl's stoop of her place, and I told her I'd been reading the pages. I brought the book. It said Holy Bible on the front. I'd never called the Bible, I'd called it the Scriptures. But hers said Holy Bible. I thought that was cool. I thought it was called Gideon's Bible. I didn't know it was the Holy Bible. I actually thought Gideon had written it. I thought the Christians had a guy named Gideon who wrote their Bible. How would I know? Sat on the stoop. I read it. I said, it's all different than what I expected. It's all different. And I think this Jesus guy is cool. I'm really drawn to him. I don't know what verbs I used, but that's what I meant. I said, I want this Jesus stuff. Love, joy, peace, meaning, relevance. That's what I was seeing in there. And she said, I said, but I don't want your Jesus. Because you know what's going to happen. I accept Jesus, I'm cut off. I'm lose my family. I didn't know how far I really would get cut off. But I knew it would cost me something. She said, you don't get this Jesus stuff. Meaning, relevance, love, joy. Unless you take Jesus as your Savior. That night, under a full moon, May of 1971, I accepted Jesus, professed him as my Messiah and Savior and Lord. And she taught me how to sing the song Amazing Grace. I mean, I knew the words from the folk song. I thought it was a folk song. Judy Collins, Joan Baez. I had no idea what a wretch like me meant until that night. And I was born again to a hope that is seriously alive. And I went home and told my mom and dad that Jesus was the Messiah. Made it be like, you're going home. For those listening online, I'm pointing to a seriously white guy. And it would be like, you're going home and telling your mother that you were black and you are pregnant. She'd look at you like, no, son, you aren't, and you can't be. You're one of us, you're not one of them. And that's exactly the way my mother and father looked at me. Wait a minute, we're us, and us don't believe in him. And they threw me out of the house. It was tough. It was tough for them. It was tough for me. Well, that was 4 decades ago, and we much later got back into good relationship. That was positive. They passed away in the last decade. Yeah, I showed them all kinds of Bible prophecies. To me, they never gave inclination that they were believers. I wish. It's one of the hardest things for a missionary. I remember one time giving a message at a church nearby their house in Kansas City, and it was the only time my father ever came to hear me speak. There were 400 people in this auditorium, and there was my mom and dad and my sister, and I was preaching to three people. Nice of you, 397, to decorate, but I'm talking to my three. And I remember giving this message, and afterwards, my father shook my hand, as you do at the end of churches, you shake hands, and he said, "That was a good job. I don't believe you, but that was a good job." I said, "Dad, don't tell me I did well if you're not willing to take it on. It's like the cobbler's children who won't wear his shoes. Nice shoes, I would never wear them." That's the most painful thing for a Jewish missionary, for anybody, I suppose, is those closest to them haven't caught it. Nothing I can do about it. Because God opens eyes, I don't. I wish I could, but then I don't, because there are some I wouldn't want to have their eyes open, and I'd consign them to hell, and God's a much more gracious God than I would ever be. I'd rather let God be God, you know what I mean? Let Him do it. So you do the things that you can do, which is share with your mouth, and He does the things that He does, which is open eyes. You do the mouth thing, He does the eye thing. That makes sense to me. You each got one of these white cards. Would you take the white card out and bend it back and forth on the perforation and then tear it right there? Could you bring me one of those Jews for Jesus newsletters? Beautiful. Thank you very much. This is what you'll get if you fill this out. And some of you, Christine, already get the newsletter and the in-between newsletters and any other thing. But for you listening on audio, you can write to me at Post Office Box 564, Rangiora 7440, because that's from where the newsletter comes in New Zealand. That's pretty good. So you can always do local domestic posting, and that's easier for us and for you. Or if you want, we can send it to you online on email. But would you go ahead and fill that out, the large card with your name and address, all those things it asks for? I will not think it rude of you to write while I'm speaking. It's okay. Go ahead and do that. On the back are four categories, one of which you are, whether you're Jewish or not, whether you're for Jesus or not. So yeah, there's some cards over there if you didn't get one. Thanks. Large card for me, small card for you. Got our email, website, you can e-touch us listening online, you can Google Jews, Jesus in Australia, it'll go right to our website, and you can get all kinds of things, including blogs and Twitters and Facebooks and Flickr, and as well as a catalog of 700 products. Now, I've brought some products with me, so you here in the Friendship Room, is that where we are? What a great name. Friendship Lounge. Ooh, it's even better. Is there an enemy ship lounge? I'm just wondering. You here in the Friendship Lounge can pick up some things afterwards. Jeff and I have been hanging out this week, going all over Auckland, and tomorrow I'm speaking in Browns Bay, and then back at Green Lane Christian Center, right in Green Lane. For the Zone, the monthly fellowship that Jeff is involved in and so many others. And then I fly home on Monday. But you can pick up some of the products that we brought with us today, the books that I mentioned, some CDs like this one that I'm going to highlight called Walk on Water, the music of Deborah Klein Iantorno and her husband Vince. Incredibly good. Your toes will be tapping before you leave here. I'm serious. She is the daughter of a Puerto Rican mama and a German Jewish papa. Yeah, it already feels good, doesn't it? It feels like the United Nations. She plays salsa, merengue, Hebrew, English. It is too good. Too good. You got to get that, as well as any of the others that are back there. And Ken, your DVD series that you got this week from the Destiny, from Derek Prince. We actually brought some here. Who knew? Could have saved the postage. Derek, any number of things. There's some free things on the other side, too, that we use with Jewish folk and anybody else. I hope you'll use those in your sphere of influence and pass that on to help people know. One thing you should know about Jews for Jesus, we're pretty brash. We're pretty straight up. At our bookstore, it doesn't say Shalom Books and Gifts. It says Jews for Jesus Books and Gifts. You know, because I don't want to bait and switch anybody. Straight up, you want to come in, come in. You don't want to come in, have a nice day. It's okay. But if you come in, you know what you're going to cop. We're going to be Jews and we're going to be for Jesus. You can't sort it out. Come in, we'll help you sort it. But we're not going to be slithering. We're going to be straight up. Jews like things straight up. Don't slip a gospel tract under the door of a Jew with no name to follow up on the back of it. Just walk up, say, Mrs. Goldberg, I want you to read this. This is good. If you like it, we'll talk about it. In fact, I'll sit with you right now. We'll read it. And Jews like that. I didn't know they still had those. Well, the overhead projector should have told me. So I'm sitting with this Jewish guy at a diner, and we're getting coffee. And we're getting a little louder, and a little louder as we're having a conversation about the Bible. One of the waitresses comes over and says, is everything all right, sir? Yeah, everything's fine. And then we're a little louder because he's arguing, I'm arguing, he's arguing. This is the way Jews talk. We're very comfortable with that. And at the end, we shake hands, we stand up. Next week, Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Yeah, that's fine. So we've set up our next appointment to have more argument about the Bible. And I went up to pay, and the lady said, gosh, I thought you guys were coming to blows. I said, no, it's just the way Jews talk. So don't be afraid to be embattled or embroiled in a battle with a Jewish person. We're very comfortable with that. And if you back down, it's our way of winning. So don't give up. Enjoy the battle. Look, I'm going to tell you lots more through the agency of the newsletter. Let me just give you one thing from this morning's email, because I've been reading every day from Kiev, Ukraine, where there are still a whole ton of Jewish folk, and where there's this thing going on called the Euro Cup. If you don't know what it is, fine. But some who really chase after football watch this thing. And there are loads and loads of people there. We decided let's do it with a campaign. Let's evangelize the gazillions who are coming from all over Ukraine, all over Europe, all over Poland. So we've got teams in Warsaw, Poland, from England, and we've got teams in Kiev, Ukraine, from all over the former Soviet Union, evangelizing. 25 here, 5 there, 16 there, you get the idea. And in the last 5 days, they've handed out over 110,000 gospel tracts, one by one, in Kiev alone. 24 people out there on the streets, 110,000 tracts in 5 days. Can you imagine doing that? So far, 20 Jews and 30 Gentiles have professed faith in Messiah with us right on the street corner. We didn't have to give them an airline ticket to get them to Israel. They got Israel in their heart today because they got the King of Israel, Jesus, right in their hearts today. I appreciate those who want to give me airline tickets and fly me somewhere, who want to move Jews from one country to another. But Jesus sent us to go into all the world and, preach the gospel. So that's what we take seriously, and that's what we're doing. And now 20 Jews and 30 Gentiles so far, this is just week one of the Euro Cup, are born again, and we're going to see them with Keith Green and Moish Rosen and Rachmel Friedland and Arthur Katz. Won't that be a day of rejoicing? When we stand in glory, I will see their faces as well. Angels had parties because of one. There were 50 brand new believers this week in Kiev alone. In Haifa, we just had a campaign finished a fortnight ago, and there were 5 Jews and 4 Arabs who professed faith in Messiah on the street corners of Haifa. Hallelujah. So that's 39 brand new believers we're going to see and rejoice with. So maybe that's why we do what we do for a living. Why I wear the Silly Jews for Jesus t-shirt, why I put it on the front of our door at the bookstore in Bondi Junction, why we go about, and why I ask you to support us. Why do I ask you to support us? Because the more you give, the more I'll spend. That's straight up. You don't give me, I can't spend it. You give me, I will spend it. I'm not interested in a big bank account. I'm interested in a lot of souls. That's what we do. So, McLeod, thank you, wherever you are. He's in Israel, right? Ken, thank you for looking after me. Pam, thank you. You're a joy. What a welcome I got from you this morning. Thank you. Thanks for looking after us today. Brothers and sisters, I hope you'll fill out that large card and extend to us the privilege to speak to you again. I hope you'll keep the small card in your pocket or in your Bible, wherever you go, on your fridge, wherever you go for daily food. And let's keep working together, proclaiming the good name of Messiah until he comes. Shalom.